Beloved of God, who are called to be saints, grace and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, save us from the threatening dangers of our sins, and enlighten our walk in the way of your salvation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The first reading is from Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 122 responsively. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Now our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is at unity with itself. Go up, the tribes of the Lord, the assembly of Israel, to praise the name of the Lord. For there are the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and quietness within your towers. For the sake of my kindred and companions, I pray for your prosperity. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek to do your good. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from Romans. Besides this, you know what time it is, for it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Word of God, word of life.
Eternal life. Alleluia.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the disciples, "About that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. As for in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, are you going to opt for the full body scan or the enhanced pat-down when you go to the airport? The sign at the airport or right near the airport says that we are at a level orange alert. We can't let our guard down. We must be vigilant in watching. You know, right after 9/11, when we were shaken awake by those terrible events of that day, we were very willing to have those added security checks. No one complained about the inconvenience of security lines. We took off our shoes. We put our liquids, 3 ounces, in a one bag, a Ziploc container. We walked through metal detectors, and now our whole bodies are being x-rayed. We think about the possibility of something happening, so we pay attention and take precautions. We are prepared as best we can be for that uncertain future. Well, what about the certain future? How well prepared are we for that? Now, maybe some of you have already turned your calendar ahead and realize that next, in this very week, it'll be December. For weeks now, maybe months, my mailbox is jammed with Christmas sale catalogs. And the Christmas music that I can hear at my house from SeaWorld has been Christmas music since before Halloween. You can't ignore all the signs. Christmas is coming. We know that. We can be certain of that. But what's going on in here? It seems like it's Christmas everywhere already, except in the church. Oh, we have the wreaths on the door. We have our chrismon tree. We have signs that Christmas is coming, but not that Christmas is here. The season of Advent is so much more than a countdown to Christmas. It's rather perplexing, isn't it? Why don't we have a gospel today about Mary being pregnant or Mary and Joseph heading off to Bethlehem for that census count? To be honest with you, the gospel passage that we read today is one that I would rather ignore. In fact, one of the pastors told me that if he were preaching this Sunday, he would not be preaching on the gospel. He said, people don't want to hear that end of the world kind of conversation when we should be looking forward to Christmas. Choose a different gospel, he said. Choose something else that's more cheery rather than this end of the world. I would rather choose something different for this first Sunday of Advent. A passage about God's love, or a passage about how God tells us to love one another. That would help us to increase the list of our Christmas recipients. How about a gospel about this baby born in Bethlehem with promises of peace and love and goodness? I'd rather have that kind of message than this level orange alert. But just only focusing on that baby come into the world on that night so long ago, and not paying attention to the promises of a God who comes into the world, who comes into our lives every day, we surely miss the bigger picture of salvation. The church invites us during this Advent season to not just look backwards to a peaceful stable long ago, but also to look to the future of the whole world at peace, as God wants it to be. The prophet Isaiah points to that time. He calls for a time when weapons of war would become tools for providing food for the hungry. Swords turned into plows, spears turned into tools for harvesting. No more war, no more hunger. This season of Advent is a time not only to get our Christmas shopping done and our decorations hung. The season of Advent is also an alert. It's a call to action. Turn up the lights, Paul says. Live in the light. We do it one candle at a time and live in that light. We're invited to adjust our expectations and believe what Scripture tells us. We are called to activity, to make the future a reality. Tools of war turned into tools for feeding the hungry. I know one way we can do that. Next Sunday, we're having a good gifts fair. Who's on your Christmas list who wouldn't want a goat? Or a chicken? Or maybe, if you're really generous, a well dug in some village in Central or South America where they have no clean water. A well in honor of that first person on your Christmas card list. You honor someone by giving a gift to someone in greater need. Spend your money on good gifts. There's more about that ELCA World Hunger program in your bulletin, and there's posters in the parish hall. That Advent activity can help make Isaiah's future a reality. No more war. Spears into pruning hooks, or spears into pruning hooks, swords into plowshares. But our gospel passage is the one that's perplexing to me on this Sunday of Advent. Entirely the words of Jesus. He's been preaching in the temple, talking to the crowds and especially to his disciples as he's nearing the end of his ministry. He's talking to the disciples who had just been caught off guard when he points out the stones, these huge stones in the temple, and tells them that these stones will become rubble. And they, the disciples, get caught up in wanting details about this. How is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? And this text that we hear today is part of the longer answer that Jesus gives to them, talking not only to those disciples, but to us as well, as how to live in the meantime, this time between his life, death, and resurrection, and the time when he comes again to make all things new. Jesus says, don't be concerned about the when question. He says that only God knows. So don't worry about the when, but be alert, be ready, live ready. Jesus recounts the story of Noah and the building of the ark, but Jesus tells his version a little bit different from the story that we read in Genesis. In the earlier version that we get in the first book of the Bible, the world is filled with corruption and violence. There's evil people everywhere. And God sends the flood to wipe out all of that evil and to carry off those evil people to judgment. But when Jesus retells the story, the people of Noah's day were occupied with ordinary things, eating and drinking, getting married, giving themselves to their partner in marriage, just ordinary human activity, totally acceptable activity, nothing evil, nothing corrupt. They were just going about their business. And the trouble lies not with their activities, but as it says, the people of Noah's time knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. They were so completely distracted by the usual activities of life that they ended up losing their lives. And Jesus tells this story to illuminate how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man at the end of time. There's a separation between those who are taken and those who are left, and it doesn't depend on their behavior. It's not about activity, what they were doing. It was about their awareness. Will they recognize Christ when he comes? What's called for is not perfect behavior, but alertness, awareness. If you don't see Jesus now in one another and in the world, how are you going to recognize Jesus when you see him at the end time? How aware or alert are you to Jesus here, now? It's not giving up an ordinary life, but it's having a sense of the extraordinary, a recognition of the holy. Two people, Jesus says, two people are working in the field. One is taken and one is left. Two people are grinding grain, doing their ordinary thing. One is taken and one is left. Like in Noah's story, the ones who are not paying attention are swept away in judgment. And the others are left in the ark, left in the field, left doing their work. That's where we want to be. We want to be the ones left behind. We don't want to be the ones swept away, totally unaware of what's going on. We want to be left doing our work, knowing, recognizing Jesus in our lives. We want to be aware and alert. We want to live in the light, as St. Paul says. Live in that Advent awareness, alertness. Maybe we should change the Advent color from blue to orange. Really be alert. Be ready for whatever, whenever. The season of Advent is a time for longing for the new heaven and the new earth, for seeking to live that in lives that are alert to the presence of God right here, right now. One of my favorite authors, sermon writers, is a woman named Barbara Brown Taylor. She's an Episcopal priest, and she writes, "Every morning when you wake up, decide to live the life that God has given you to live right now. Refuse to live yesterday over and over again. Resist the temptation to save your best self for tomorrow." That's what Advent is about. Don't get caught up in the when or the how, those technical details, or trying to know something that even Jesus doesn't know. Don't let your focus be only on the past or wrapped up in so much Christmas preparation that you fail to notice the presence of God right now, right here. So live an Advent life, expecting God at every turn, being ready for God in every hour. Prepare for Christmas and live with your eyes open, alert for Jesus right here, right now. Wake up! Amen.